Welcome to episode 7 of the Hallyu Wave. This is Zippy here, and joining us back again is Sanjo Chan. How are you doing, Sanjo?
I'm fine, Zippy. How are you?
Doing just fine. How's your week going so far?
Pretty good. Looking forward to the rest of the month because there's a lot of fall comebacks in a way. Especially G-Dragon, which is what we're going to talk about today. Is that right?
Indeed. Yes, we get to cover a lot of awesome... Well, I say that. I always seem to start with this leading words when we're reviewing. So maybe it's awesome, maybe it's not. But yes, we get to cover 2 music videos and technically 1 intro, 1 single for G-Dragon coming off of his first mini album, second solo album, Crayon, that will be coming out online on September 15th. In physical form the 18th, we are covering specifically One of a Kind, which was the first music video that came out to support Crayon, and then most recently That XX, or That Blank. So we'll cover all of that, and then at the end, I know, Sandra, this is something you've been wanting to talk about for a while, but we have the Sasang fans.
Yep, there are fans who are disrespectful towards the celebrity, and they don't deserve to be fans, and we'll tell you why later in the episode.
Yes, we will. But first, let's go right to One of a Kind. I'm just wilding you, I'm just wilding you, do it just for fun. Hello. Ladies, me and Choice. Yes, sir, I'm one of a kind. The jazz from Island Gold, I go and pull the go. All right, so we're talking about G-Dragon's first music video in support of his album, and at the time we didn't even know much about the album, but we just knew it's G-Dragon. He usually does really awesome work, at least that's how I feel, and Sandra, I believe you feel likewise. And so there was a whole lot of hype coming into just the music video and the song itself. And I have to ask, once you saw it, what were your initial impressions?
I knew that it was going to be, you know, I was hoping it would be something like Heartbreaker, but no, it's totally different. It's actually more like, I guess you would say, a Knockout Part 2, just without TLP. But I'm not really that surprised because... When you think about it, a lot of G-Dragon's music videos are abstract. Let's see, you have Butterfly, A Boy, Butterfly, Boy, Heartbreaker, and Breathe, which all of them are abstract except probably for Butterfly and Heartbreaker, which, you know, this makes more sense, and I think One of a Kind will fall into that category.
Yeah, abstract's a good way to put it, and especially with the music video, I really felt there was a lot going on just kind of all at once. And I knew because I accidentally started to watch an episode of Eat Your Kimchi where they cover this, and I've kind of made my own personal promise never to watch or read another review just so I don't accidentally take too much of their thoughts into mine. But even just the little bit I heard from them was talking about tons of symbolism. So I knew, okay, there's a lot going on, but maybe there's a purpose to some of it. But still, it seemed kind of all over the place, and you're right, maybe I should have been expecting it a little more, maybe not from a Heartbreaker, which seemed kind of set in, I mean, what it was trying to portray, but maybe more in some of his other songs.
Yeah, so like, starting from the beginning to the end, as best as I can remember, in the beginning you have him talking into a tin can on a string, and he has 2 kids with him, which is also the most talk about scene in the video. It's I guess it represents him as a little boy, you know, just being a kid, and then, you know, talking to the other end of the phone, and then towards the end, you see him on the phone again, but he has a secretary that's choosing all, you know, choosing articles of clothing for him, like shoes and such. And also, the most obvious part that you see is him wearing a prison uniform, and he has his profile on him, his name, birth date, and his height and weight, and that's also, it means that he may go to jail, or he almost went to jail for the previous incidents in his career, like during the concert, his China Light concert, the most memorable incident of him doing something to one of the girls when the concert was all ages instead of restricted. Now, there was a lot of uproar around that, so that's one of the, I guess, the points that he, you know, mentioned out in the song. And then, of course, the marijuana incident last year, which is, you know, so basically the prison system is out to get him because of something that was, you know, thrown out of proportion.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't even think of that. I was just kind of thinking, okay, I've seen a lot of typical American rap music videos, and I know that while K-pop, of course, is huge in Korea, you know, they still like a lot of American music. So I was thinking that maybe a lot of this thematically was more similar to our music videos. So, I mean, you have ones about prison, maybe a bit older, like the one Weird Al parody. But still, I was thinking, okay, that's just some imagery they're going for. I didn't even make the connection, because you're right. I mean, he's certainly gotten into a lot of trouble. And even with the next single, we'll talk about maybe to avoid some of that trouble is why he slapped the 19 label on it before anybody even, you know, asked, just to kind of avoid that. I think for me, what was kind of my favorite scene, and also the one where I felt it gave the message that he was wanting to give, which is not just, I mean, you have like the boxing scene with kind of the gold helmet, or gold protective, you know, kit, whatever, and then you've got a whole lot of other scenes, including the one with the sexy stewardesses, and even just having a bear and a tiger on your set. Something to me about just being able to get an animal kind of speaks money. So he's got this whole, I'm an individual, I'm one of a kind, but, you know, I'm rich, and he's got that going on. But I felt the best part to me was when he was in the tennis uniform and was kind of bashing the protective display cases of all of his old music video outfits, and maybe even some stage outfits. I didn't, you know, take the time to recognize them all. But I figured that was the point where he's like, look, that's the old me. I'm constantly reinventing myself, or I'm a new G-Dragon. You know, watch out, world.
Another part of the music video, I couldn't help but notice this, Taeyong's appearance. He appears like towards the end of the music video, and you think that it would, you know, you think that his appearance is just, you know, random, you know, for, you know, no reason, like in some other music video, but it's actually going on to the symbolisms in the music videos. Taeyong actually grew up with G-Dragon. They were training, I guess they joined YG around the same time about a decade ago, and so they've been friends ever since.
Oh, awesome. See, I would have totally expected that, maybe with like a different member, but for some reason I never picked Taeyong to, I guess, have been childhood friends. They just seem very different. So I just thought it was, you know, Taeyong saying, hey, thanks for helping me with I Need a Girl. You know, I'm here to return the favor, basically. Or, you know, I'm part of Big Bang, and hey, look what YG's making me do. So, cool. I guess one other moment that kind of struck me, and I guess to kind of end with the obvious symbolism, was the dinner scene. Because for me, that was really when it started getting very clear. Like, I felt a lot of the early parts just seemed kind of all over the place, which I still have issue with the music video for that. But, you know, you got the dinner, you had kind of the steak heart, and, I mean, that seemed very reminiscent of Heartbreaker, because, I mean, he used a heart and an apple, but he used a heart image in so much of that.
Yeah, also, I thought, to that, the fact that he's, you know, before he's before the scene changes, when he's all gothic and, you know, dark and scary. He's, and I wonder if it represented his style of, his outward style before the days of Heartbreaker, and then when you see him all clean and neat, you know, that represents the days after Heartbreaker, and also, it probably also says that he's not that bad, you know, he's probably dirty on the inside, but clean on the outside, or vice versa.
He's a bad boy, what can you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally follow that. So, yeah, that all works for me. I guess talking about the song itself, I feel like I read the English lyrics, as I'm doing a lot more now, because I feel it really does make a lot more sense when watching the music videos. In fact, when we get to his next, or his first single, technically, Drew Crayon, I'll totally glad that I read the English lyrics. But for this, again, just kind of reiterating, a lot of it was like the I'm rich, you know, he even says, you know, like, used to be a young bear, so many people wanting to talk to me. And it seems like, I don't know, he was definitely very, I guess he was definitely trying to be very showy. And again, I kind of got that American rap style with the bling and all that. But to me, being, I guess, more of an introduction, I was thinking, well, maybe that works, because he is trying to kind of lead in the album with a strong kind of bombastic feel. But at the same time, like, normally, and this is where my brother would always get on to me, because I don't know what he thinks, but maybe it's like reverse racism or something against, like, Americans. But he's like, well, you listen to this song, but you won't listen to this song, and they sound alike. And so, to argue against that, the part that I'm liking, especially as the song grows on me more and more, starting with the chorus, but now even the rap a bit, isn't the whole, I mean, it's not like the lyrical nature of it. And thankfully, maybe, I don't understand most of it, because I don't speak Korean, but I'm like, you know, G-Dragon, you can talk about how wealthy you are, how awesome you are, all that, all the time, as long as the songs sound good, that works for me.
But also, I've heard stories that he copies off of Lil Wayne a bit, but, you know, I don't see that, and probably because I don't follow Lil Wayne as much. But the song itself, it actually reminds me of The Leaders, which is actually one of the first songs I've heard from G-Dragon that, you know, sounds like hardcore American hip-hop. It's on his first album featuring CL from 21 and Teddy, who produces most of Big Bang's and G-Dragon songs. But this is what, you know, that's what I thought too, but The Leaders is not promoted as much, so that's probably why you don't find it strange. But, you know, I guess this is, you know, one of the first songs that he's actually admitting, say, okay, we'll throw in a little hardcore hip-hop there, and, you know, and then focus on maybe R&B ballads, so, you know, ballads a little later.
Oh yeah, I could totally see that. I actually listened to, I mean, his whole first album a whole lot, so I really remember The Leaders. But for me, I think I always thought, because that was a collaboration and you had these other artists, that maybe it was as much their style as it was his. So I guess that's why this still caught me off guard a little bit. But you're right, it does set a precedent for the direction. And I will say, as to your little Wayne comment, in some ways, I feel, and I'm not an expert by any means on Lil Wayne, we'd have to get our friend, who we know as Brian, or New Brian, who is basically a self-proclaimed Lil Wayne expert, but I've heard him do so many different styles of songs that in that way alone, I could see how a G-Dragon comparison would work, just because sometimes he'll do like a rocking song. Sometimes he'll do kind of like a, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but Clara C, who's kind of a Korean-American artist, does a great cover of it. It's like How to Love, I think is what it's called. And it's much more kind of like softer R&B song. So I could see the comparison. I don't know how much that would be fair to say if there's any like direct, you know, G-Dragon actually being like, hey, I want to do like that, because like you mentioned, I mean, you've got Teddy and you've got YG and you've got others, so even if G-Dragon's doing a lot of the song, you still have some people trying to give it some direction. So usually I feel they're all pretty uniquely crafted in their own way.
And also going back, before we move on, going back to when I mentioned the leaders, here's a little random fact. It's a song that G-Dragon says, G-G-G-G baby baby, G-D-G-D baby baby.
Yes. I couldn't remember who that was at, but I always get that confused because, I mean, obviously, you kind of have GG from Girls' Generation, so that's what that always makes me think of.
Mm-hmm.
But with a twist.
Yep.
Well, I guess in summary, as we tend to do, talk about kind of where this fits on our playlist, whether it's something we're going to keep listening to. I already mentioned it briefly, but the chorus hooked me much faster than the rest of it. The rap is starting to grow on me. The music video, I think I'll watch, if only to keep trying to figure out different elements of it. And then after we record this, I'm going to totally watch the Your Kimchi video immediately to see what they got. But otherwise, I'll say, yeah, I've had the song in my car on one of the CDs, partly to get ready for this episode, but partly just because it's New G-Dragon, it's got to be on one of my mix CDs. So I have to say I haven't been skipping it, and I've definitely enjoyed it more and more over time.
Yep, I agree with you, but I also wish that they've released the song first, but thinking about it, maybe G-Dragon knew that this song would be really good, so that's why he didn't release it first, and instead he released this, his follow-up single. But I'm totally looking forward to the album now. But also, when I listened to the very first minute of it the day it was released, I knew I wouldn't be disappointed, of course, because it's G-Dragon, or if not just Big Bang, pretty much any other songs you listen to from, Big Bang as a group, even the members, when they release their solo singles, it's easy to get hooked to it, as soon as you listen to maybe less than 30 seconds of it, but I totally recommend it as well.
Yeah, I saw it. I told you. I don't wanna hurt you. Why?
Alright, now it is time to talk about G-Dragon's technically first single in support of Crown, and it's That XX, or That Blank. And Sandra, you and I have been talking about just kind of how they've used that, and you're actually the one that told me that it wasn't really just XX and it was blank to begin with.
Because at first, when they first released a teaser, I thought up to the day that they were going to release the single and the music video that they were going to reveal the meaning behind the X and X like they usually do for any other, upcoming promotions for upcoming, singles. But later on that evening when they released the image, they slapped a 19 and up label, or 18 and up in other areas. And so I was totally wrong. So it's actually a swear word. And plus, the meaning of the song is totally different from what everyone was expecting, which when you look at the image of G-Dragon sitting all sexy, you thought that it was going to be a fangirl moment come true.
Oh, yeah. That blank really leaves opportunity for so many things. I mean, just in that, 24 to 48 hour window between the teaser and the music video, I'm sure there are so many fanfics written just about what that could be.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, speaking to kind of, I guess, the expectation game, though, and, I mean, this works for pretty much all of G-Dragon stuff now, because of his involvement with Big Bang and because of having released an album before, I think that especially our mutual friend Nick, who I'll bring on to the show because he's begged me to help review the full G-Dragon album, but I think he was really expecting the rating and then the music video One of a Kind to kind of really mean that G-Dragon was keeping with that hardcore hip-hop and keeping that going, and then to be greeted by this really kind of melancholy, sad love song. Kind of surprised, and I'll have to say I was surprised too, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it was actually a very laid-back song, but also the music video, it's actually a bit annoying because throughout the song he's saying that blank or that XX, which actually means koseki, and the go is the that, and then the seki is actually the bad word that they're censoring. And so to, you know, keep it toned down and not to offend anyone, I'm going to refer to seki as jerk, so the actual song is that jerk.
That's but, perfect. That is exactly the word I had written down too for it. Awesome.
Yep. But so, according to the lyrics, that where koseki appears, that blank, what does he have that I don't? Why can't I have you? That blank doesn't love you. How much longer are you going to cry yourself silly? And that's definitely not what we were expecting.
No, and even more than that, so even after I'd watched the music video, and I was just kind of confused at first, but definitely thinking, okay, you know, there's something to this. I read what at the time seemed like, and still kind of does, a very astute comment talking about how maybe this song represents two sides of G-Dragon. But once I read the lyrics, then I'm like, okay, no, they're basically just not hiring another actor. And they're using, like, lighting and setting and really a lot of kind of intricate elements, including, I feel like, the tattoos, to kind of differentiate between the two characters that G-Dragon's playing in the music video. So he's not supposed to be the same guy. He's playing two different guys.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, one guy, I guess the guy we're rooting for, loves the girl, who I presume is a friend, probably also a neighbor, since he can basically, you know, see her when she leaves, see her through her peephole, you know, unless he's just really creepy. I doubt that's the case. But, you know, I mean, so that's kind of the guy we're rooting for, but then he's playing the playboy, who the girl actually is going out with, and who seems to break her heart constantly, at least more in the lyrics, some in the music video, but still has her love.
And, well, the thing about the music video is that it's going to be annoying, you know. The music video is... You probably have to just listen to the single, because they have this thing with bleeping. They bleep out the seki part, the XX part, and that's very annoying. And plus, when I think about it, it's actually kind of comedic, because you normally wouldn't use a bleep in an American song that has profanity, but they're usually, like, muted out or, like, I guess mix over it, over the word, or mix out the previous word or whatever, but...
Yeah, bleep is so old school. I'm like, there's... Oh, dang it. So Whitey Ford, I think, did the What It's Like song, and that is the only song I still hear on the radio where they don't bleep it, but they use, like a record scratch.
Yeah.
And it's so... obvious. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be obvious you're editing it anyways, but like you said, mix it so that you only hear the background and you don't hear the bleep.
But also, to this, not that many Korean songs that I can think of that doesn't do that, or at least, I don't know, maybe on the radio, or because one song comes to mind when I hear the bleeps is Come Back Home by Sotaji Boys off of their fourth and final album, and there's a word in the song that they bleep out. You only hear that, like, on the, I guess on the radio versions, but if you're looking enough to find the reprinted CDs from YG, then it's on there. It's not on there, to correct myself. So only on the radio versions you hear that, thankfully.
Yeah. I think that basically, since this is happening at the same time as the, you know, the committee that's kind of censoring music and music videos is basically getting more strength, that it was probably just a move, either an early move, or maybe that committee's already really going, and they've already said, hey, look, you've got to do this. But either way, I think it was just, I guess, the reaction they thought of. But, yeah, hopefully next time they won't bleep it. And anyways, hey, what's it matter? Because like you said, the album will probably have it like normal, and I will just buy the album, and everybody, especially in the U.S., will probably end up just getting that version and never hearing the bleeped version again.
Well, fortunately, the album version will have the uncensored version, so that's why the label will be on there. And also, it was the Dragon's decision to have the label on there because, of course, people are going to complain when they say, hey, you can't say that. and like I said, in comparison, this net, well, I don't think that would be the style of song. I don't think that would be the kind of, you know, the right word to use for this kind of song, because I would, like I said, one of a kind, if I was using one of a kind, I can see it, but also I guess it would be awkward to put that word in this kind of song, so, yeah.
I will say, so something that I kind of honestly joked about going into it, once I realized this, was, so this music video features one of the new YG girls, and I apologize, I don't have her name in front of me.
Jennie Kim.
Okay, cool. Do we know what group she's in yet, or?
She's supposedly a part of the upcoming group that YG is teasing, which also one of the members will appear on his album once it's released, which is, if I had a track in front of me, it's track three, which is, it says featuring question mark of YG new girl group, so we don't know until it gets closer to release.
Okay, well, cool. That was very insightful. But yeah, so going, you know, talking about the girl, she's like 16.
Yep.
Because, you know, in these new girl groups, they're always very young. And so, I mean, it's just funny knowing, like, hey, she technically isn't supposed to listen or watch her own music video.
Mm-hmm.
But now knowing that it's really just one word that's repeated, and I don't know if Korea's, you know, I mean, Korea is in some ways more conservative culturally, it seems, than America. And I hear that from a lot of foreign countries, you know, like people that go over there, they say we're just very open. But, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's the same degree that I expected, maybe going with your fangirl comment earlier to,
mm-hmm.
you know, like shine a light, you know, like a bed incident. It's a lot more just one word being repeated over and over. So not as weird now that she's in it, in my opinion. Maybe the age difference is weird, but not the age difference in her ability to listen to the music video and watch it.
Well, yeah, like I said, she could just mute it and just watch the video and, you know, and not hear the words. Well, she could just watch the censored version, but she wouldn't be able to hear the album version.
Yeah. Yeah. Technically true. So, still kind of odd, but whatever. I guess, so, talking about the song specifically, I really liked it just off the first listen, because I think what I do like is when G-Dragon tends to sing more, because he's a very awesome rapper, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it when K-pop idols in particular do something that they don't typically do. And he sings a fair amount, but I'd still say that since rapping is his kind of primary, I don't even want to say purpose, but it's kind of what they, you know, have him do the most and what he himself does the most, it's always good to hear him sing. And it was such, like, again, it had melancholy, it was very sad, but it was very beautiful. And, I mean, it seemed, like, very endearing. Like, you could kind of relate to the characters, you know, because, well, first of all, many people may have been in that situation. But, I mean, you could just kind of feel the emotions coming through the song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think what I like, too, although it's kind of weird, kind of good, is you have G-Dragon basically just kind of saying those occasional words, too, that he kind of adds, like, the I'm sorry, and it almost sounds like an echo, because he's kind of saying them under the main singing track. But I've felt, again, especially now having read the English lyrics and watching the music video, that it works really well, and it helps you get even a better idea of what is going on in this, you know, obviously fictional, but, you know, this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have a question for you, though, Sancho. Do you not think that it's a bit ironic that the bad guy in the video, you know, the playboy, is kind of made out to be really glitzy with bling? And, you know, G-Dragon's, I guess, the good guy, you know, is more formal and perhaps even uptight or maybe even shy. So we're rooting against the playboy when just the music video he released before, that's basically G-Dragon being like, hey, I'm rich and all that.
Yeah, that's something to think about, because maybe it's also a reference to that scene in One of a Kind where he's seen stabbing a fork in the heart, and then you see his clean sight. I wonder if anything you see in One of a Kind is going to reflect on this mini album. That'd be interesting. But yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, well, and putting it in that perspective too, going back to One of a Kind, and even with Bad Boy, is I think that, and maybe this is just something that's really attractive to girls, because you always hear about like tall, dark, and handsome. You like that could also mean like having a dark side, but I'm gonna be able to change him. And you know, usually like guys like me are like, no, he's never gonna change. But anyways. So maybe like that, you know, it's that duality to G-Dragon where they're like, you know, I want to love you, but I'm still, you know, I've got this bad boy side.
Bad boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's why it made it so easy for, again, the people on YouTube to really just assume that it was him, the same, playing the same guy the whole time, because they just thought, you know, sometimes he loves her so much, but sometimes he accidentally hurts her. Or something like that. I don't even really know.
Or in G-Dragon's case, you know, in real life, is that he's hurt his fans, but he can, you know, change himself to be a better person.
Ooh, look who's going deep.
Hey.
Hey, that's quite possible. Well, I've already pretty much convinced myself that I'm buying the mini album, partly just because it's G-Dragon. And again, G-Dragon's really kind of what put me into K-pop to begin with, and I love that album, you know, his first solo album. But is this a track specifically where, you know, either the music video or the song that you think you're going to go back to?
I go back to the song, definitely, but the music video, you know, it'll be hard to watch with the bleeps in, or if they made a different version, if they learned how to, you know, scratch that part of it off, then, you know, maybe. The music video is nice, and I enjoy the music video, but, you know, it's distracting. But the song is, you know, pretty good, and I listen to it on, you know, regularly.
So, I guess first I'll share my thoughts, and then I wanted to share this, and I don't know if I'm going to do it. But I kind of agree, partly just because I feel that the music video, you honestly just have kind of a more down feeling. And even though listening to the song, I always know that it's connected to this imagery, I think I'll be able to listen to it a little more happily, and it won't like bring my emotions down, won't make me feel too sad. I'm just going to enjoy it for kind of the beautiful nature of the music itself. So I'll definitely still listen to the song. As for the music video, I mean, bleeps withstanding, I probably just won't watch it as much. Mm-hmm. And that being said, so here's my idea, and again, I don't know if I'll do it, but anybody listening, you should totally do this. Maybe even create a new account, just so you don't accidentally get yours banned. But the moment that single comes out, just take the audio, put it over the video using something as simple as like Windows Movie Maker, and then just post it. Because I will promise you that while, you know, it was released on the Big Bang Channel, and of course that's going to get tons of views regardless, that version, if you put it like uncensored, will get so many views, and maybe it will even show Korea, hey, we're big boys over here, or something like that. I don't know. You know, we don't mind literally just one cuss word repeated.
Yeah, it's not even that bad for cuss words. Well, depending on the context you put them, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, G-Dragon seems like he's in his right to be angry at this guy. All right. Lastly, we are keeping it a little shorter, just doing two music videos, partly because we know, honestly, G-Dragon alone, I mean, that's going to be very popular, but more just because Sancho has been wanting to talk about this for some time, and it's part of what I would say is the uglier side of K-pop fandom. It's not exclusive to K-pop fandom, which is kind of where I'll come in to this conversation, but of course, we're talking about K-pop with this podcast primarily, so it's going to be mostly examples. And that's, as Sanjo teased earlier, Sasaeng fans. And just tell us about that more in depth now, Sanjo.
Okay, Sasaeng fans in general, they're fans that you do not want to come across, you know, even if you're not a celebrity. I mean, you can be a celebrity or you can be a normal, you know, obeying fan, but, you know, there are people you do not want to get close to because, so basically, Sasuke fans, they're stalkers, or if you go into the Tumblr first, you call them stans, or stalker and stan, fans, combination of stalker and fans, or stans, that's what they would call them. So what they'll do, they'll camp in front of the celebrities' dorms or houses or wherever their living quarters are, and when they'll come out, they'll follow him. No, they'll follow the celebrity. And if the celebrity goes, I guess, in a car or a taxi limousine, the fans will follow after him. And then they'll like come up like, "Can I have your autograph, please, please?" You know, they're very annoying, you know, of course, from that point. But they also do dangerous. They'll do things that borderlines on dangerous or is dangerous. Like, I have this incident from last month of one of my favorite actors, Jang-un Suk. He has a concert in Shanghai, and he finished up his concert in Shanghai, and on his way back to wherever he was going, on Twitter he said that this is the last time I've warned you not to drive over the Central Line. So I guess they were like driving on the wrong side of the road, trying to get around them to take a picture or who knows what. And it was really that, you know, problematic that he sweared on Weibo, which is the Chinese equivalent of Twitter. And he used a swear word when he was cussing out the fans, but then he deleted it afterwards. Of course, got him in a little trouble, but it wasn't such a big deal since he was just basically defending himself. And also, a few months prior to that, he finished up another concert, or I don't know, I don't remember if it was, he finished up his first part of the Creed show too, or what. But he apparently had some fans plant a GPS system on his car, which was also, you know, another problem. So, and also because of that, when he was in Shanghai, he had to cut his trip short because he usually does like diaries, travel diaries, but just because he got upset over a fan that just wants to get to know him better, or so to speak, that he didn't do anything for him, for other fans. So that's also a problem. That if you do something bad to someone you love, then no one gets that love too. So, you know, you get punished for doing that, for doing something negative to the person. But, you know, this is only a minor situation, but then the biggest situation of all was just what I wanted to talk about to the other people in the K-pop fandom circle is the issue with JYJ. Earlier in the year, members of JYJ were accused of hitting the fans and cussing them out. And here's an article from All K-Pop that summarizes the incidents, starting with Yuchun. He's heard swearing into the phone after a fan calls his cell phone, asks if it's him. Which is also another thing that the Sasuke fans will even buy phone numbers from the celebrities. It's just, you know, out of control. But also, the article mentions that Jaejoong swears to a group of fans following him around, and he states, "You guys follow me around. This isn't fun, but it's probably really fun to you because, you know, you are the Sasuke fans." And also, a little later on to the audio clip, he hits a fan, which was also the biggest point of the controversy, because he had to resort to violence to get rid of him, which is, you know, you think that as soon as you assault someone, it's all over, but they're still, you know, doing what they're doing. But he also continues to rant, saying, "Come back here, come back before I catch you, go away." He describes someone that He describes something that happened in the past of other Sasuke fans saying, "I hit you once, so you complain that your face is swollen and can't go home, asking me to compensate for damages and calling the police. Is that a fan? You're kidding yourselves." And also, Junsu also says that he complains, saying, "You guys are even filming this? Well, do whatever you want, then go in and live the way you want to live." And that's the boiling point of the whole Sasuke incident. And also, the most recent incident is when Heechul of Super Junior, he's really popular on Twitter out of the other members who are on Twitter, such as Choi Shiwan and I think Shenong, if I remember correctly. He closed his Twitter account recently because of that reason, because I guess I think fans are sending a message, and then of course if he tweets where he's going, they'll say, okay, let's go over here and follow him. And of course this isn't an innocent stalk, but more of a crazy fan stalking, I guess. And also Yuchun, he asked his Twitter followers if he should close his account, and I guess with the he got enough responses, and then he ended up closing his account. So Yuchun is silent on Twitter for the moment until he can get a peace of mind from all the stalkers.
Yeah, I think just to jump in, TVXQ when they were still around, and then JYJ is the ones that I think most of when I think of Sossing fans, and just kind of those, like you kind of said at the beginning, it's hard to really even call them fans, but they seem to be the biggest target. I mean, one of the first stories I remember hearing about K-pop, I'm not even going to say it fully, but basically it was very disturbing, and some female fan kind of just sent like a message, and I believe it was to one of the, again, TVXQ Toho Shinki members.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that right there was overboard. But apparently, Heartbreaker and G-Dragon got me past that. And so I kept getting into K-pop. The JYJ incident with Yuchun, hitting a female fan or, possibly or whatever, that really kind of brought it to the forefront. And one reason that I'd asked Sanjay to kind of hold off on it was because I wanted to do a little more research on how this is here, too. Because if you think about it, the best comparison for us might be even just like the Twilight actors and actresses. And I feel it's a little different, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sanjay, but so much of what you see of K-pop, I mean, even to their airport photos, they kind of know, where people are going to be taking pictures of them, for the most part. And so, like, even that, their airport fashion, I figure they kind of have some forewarning. But I don't know if, like, does Korea have the same kind of level of tabloids that the U.S. does? Because the U.S. almost, and Britain's even worse, basically has a market, making money off of, finding stuff about fans. With celebrities, kind of like you have the dramatic, I guess, Twilight breakup recently, due to some photos, taken by or sold to a magazine. And so I just didn't know, and again, this is something you may know more, whether in Korea it is just the fans or if they do have kind of like a tabloid system as well with some of their papers.
As for tabloids, I think it's about the same as the U.S. I believe it's about the same as the U.S. I don't know. I don't pay attention to British media as much to see how, to compare between the three nations. But as far as the pictures go, I think in Korea, most of it is a lot of fan run, because if you, let's say Big Bang, or let's say Jungkook Suk in this case, a lot of the pictures I see when he comes to the airport, they have a label, a watermark that has his name on it, and then the name is it's Unofficial Fan Club, and I think that's a lot of work of the fans, because they they come to the airport and greet him, and take pictures. Of course, if there weren't that many fans, then I guess if not many people took pictures, then I guess that means that people are. The security is blocking them, so I think a lot of it's fan run. And also I like to point out that a lot of the fan pictures I've seen taken, they have a strict policy on what you can do with it. Like, you can't use it for editing. So at a fan meeting, they take pictures, a lot of pictures, especially a lot of intimate shots and stuff, and they'll have a big warning saying do not edit or do not alter and do not repost and stuff. So it seems that fans have a big business, of trading photos than people who are professionals.
Well, and it's good to see that at least they have kind of some individual system on their own where they have some kind of self-imposed rules. Although, of course, these Sussing fans clearly just go around that and really ignore, I guess, the sense of decorum that these fan communities try to promote. Kind of going back again to just kind of things I have in mind when it comes to how it happens over in the U.S. is what a lot of times is I've seen, and I've got some extreme examples, and I've got some lesser, less than extreme examples, but it's the fan basically wants the celebrity to remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I can even feel this way. I mean, I just came back literally just this weekend, so a couple days before this episode releases, from the convention in Atlanta called Dragon Con, and I get to meet a couple celebrities. And for me, it wasn't, you know, trying to hurt them or anything. It was like I met LeVar Burton, host of Reading Rainbow, and he's on Star Trek. And so I had a couple kind of memory moments, and so I wanted to share one. And so if he remembers that a year later, yes, I would be very giddy. But for certain fans, I mean, it can even involve, like, physical harm. Anything that they can do to make themselves, you know, in that celebrity's mind. And so you have, again, you have just different examples of maybe, you know, people try to hurt them with concerts. I don't think this is necessarily something where the individual gets recognition by name, but you have this phenomenon called bottling, where they literally take bottles and, like, one fan will throw it at, you know, the musician on stage. Going to the most extreme example, you have the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan just to impress Jodie Foster. Again, very extreme, but he liked an actress and he wanted to make a name for himself. But yeah, all in all, though, it's definitely, again, not fan behavior in the sense of where, especially with K-pop, you know, they're so clued into this whole, like, what is a fan? So with Tiara, you know, with a lot of people kind of backing out of their quote-unquote fandom of Tiara, you know, a lot of people are saying, are you real queens, which is their fan club name, are you real fans? You know, are you supporting them at all? And so you've got, like, that level of debate of fans, but then I think you've got the more, you know, overt Sossing fans that we're talking about, where I think most people would agree, like, you've gone past the point of being a fan. Like you said, stalker, for many of them, is a more than appropriate word.
Another, when you mentioned the assassination attempt, that reminded me of another incident, which I don't know if I don't know if this is even considered a Sussing fan or just a plain out anti fan. Back in about 6 years ago, it's right after TVXQ released their third album, You Know, was given a drink by a fan, which was turned out to be later to be anti-fan, and he drank it, and he didn't feel very well, and he had to be rushed to the ER, and, you know, he almost died, so that's another thing, thing right there, yeah.
I can't believe I hadn't heard of that, yeah, no, that's exactly the kind of, I mean, that's the kind of behavior, you know, so that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one more kind of example, and so this is kind of just when you were talking about, I guess, is Jung In-suk?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, talking about him and the whole, like, driving, you know, on the wrong side. I mean, to a way, that kind of also harkens up to another more tragic incident where, I mean, like, if you think of Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, it was the photographers following her, and, you know, there were a whole lot of issues. I mean, there's, you know, questions about the driver. Still a lot of mysteries, I think, in that. But, I mean, if she wasn't being chased by paparazzi, then certainly, probably would have gone smoother. So, I mean, it's, in many ways, it's definitely not easy being a celebrity. Especially as young as so many of these individuals are, especially, you know, early. I mean, some of them now are a little older, but, I mean, they lived their whole life like that. And so, kind of touched on this, I guess, with Erica when we were covering Tiara's kind of incident, but you just kind of got to respect the individuals that you like and basically don't go crazy. crazy. I don't know. I mean, trying to go crazy over something, just don't be crazy and then stalk them.
Yeah, you can go crazy, but not crazy crazy. But, like, the best thing you can do is, what I've heard is that you can just write down the celebrity's name and then hold it out and scream, you know, because the celebrity will remember you from holding out the sign. That's all, and nothing really, really dumb after that. So please don't go out of control.
Yeah, and so this is maybe a little more difficult advice to implement than Sanjo's, but I had a former boss who attended Dragon Con a lot more than I did, but she's also been to all kinds of other events where she's been able to meet different people, and her advice is just treat them like normal people, because not only will they remember you, but they'll also be like, oh, you know, I appreciate that you're a fan, but thank you for just being normal to me. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily, I mean, you know, like, squeeze and, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's okay sometimes. But, you know, if you're just having a casual conversation, and so that's what I try to do now, is I take her advice, because she's been able to meet some awesome people, and, you know, just had great experiences. And so I may be, like, fanboying inside, but I'm like, you know, like, hey, nice to meet you, Mr. Burton, or something like that. And so, again, it's harder to possibly meet K-pop idols. And even the one chance I kind of did, it was basically just, you know, you're in front of a camera, and I didn't know what to say, because most of them didn't speak English. So, maybe come with a prepared phrase, but, you know, nothing too crazy.
And definitely no clopping, which, you know, is, you know, applies to anything, not just celebrities, but people, especially if you're a cosplayer, don't do that.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you're not from the anime side and you don't know what glomping is, but basically think sudden hug out from nowhere.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Breaking news. Saya is signed with Island Records.
Island Records?
Yep.
Cool.
Same agency as Justin Bieber, so now they can finally stop saying that, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then he's also going to be at the Video Music Awards.
Which video music? Oh, I guess the US. VMAs?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. That is breaking news. All right. Well, thank you again for listening to another episode of the Hallyu Wave. Always a pleasure to chat with you, Sanjo, and to discuss not just the latest news, including breaking news. Who expected that? But also talk about G-Dragon, and then really some of the topics that may not be discussed in length enough, like Sasang fans. So thank you, Sanjo, for bringing that to our attention.
No problem.
Next week, Sanjo's going to join me again, and we did a poll. It wasn't really definitive in any way, which most polls tend not to be, I've noticed, but we did a poll on our Facebook page. And something that just while making the poll really came to mind was this idea of focusing on one artist for an episode. So it maybe give us a little time to talk a bit more about their history, especially if they're coming out with a new music video. Of course, we cover that, a new album, you know, cover that. At the same time, maybe we could go back and review an older one. Even their first, or maybe one that just kind of really reflected when they broke big. And so I'm thinking that we should start off by opening Pandora's Box and get Kara on out and talk about Kara. So if you didn't catch my reference, Pandora's Box is their newest single and music video, but they also are one of the acts, one of the K-pop acts, that have been really huge in Japan. So they're getting ready for a special album called Kara Collection, and I don't have a date on that specifically, but even if we can't talk about, September 5th, now I have a date. So we can talk about that album, and then also talk about their solo music videos as well. So it might be an extra long show, I'm not sure, but it's still something that I've been wanting to try, and something that we hope you enjoy.
Cool.
Anyways, though, of course, it's time for us to go, but time for us to let you know how to find out more about us. So, specifically, for myself as an individual, you can follow me on Twitter, @TokyoTowerWAWL. Of course, with the show, you can message us, HowYouWavePodcast@gmail.com, and you can send in comments, criticism, feedback, questions, and you can do that either just, you know, type it like a normal email, or you can send an MP3 and maybe I'll play it on the show. You can also follow us on Facebook, and we've been getting a whole lot more fans on there, which is very exciting, and you can be one of them if you're not already. Just go to facebook.com/thehowYouWave and like our page and be sure to follow along with our post. Sanjo, though, how will they follow you and learn more about you?
Right. You can follow me on Twitter at Sanjo Chan, that's SANJO_CHN. And you can visit my website, Sentakome, which this talks about everything that's anime and otaku related, at CTNTAKUME.INFO.
Awesome. Well, be sure to follow Sanjo, be sure to follow myself, and of course, most importantly, just, you know, keep listening to new episodes of The Hallyu Wave and tell your K-pop loving friends about us. That's it for the show, though, and hope to see you next week, or hope to speak with you next week as we talk all things Kara. So, till then, bye!
Bye!